For the last 2 weeks, we have studied prayer. James tells us that we should pray when we are in trouble. All of us are in trouble of one kind or another because we live in this broken world. And James also encouraged us to seek elders to come and pray when we are sick. All of us will get sick and one day die. So if you have not been sick yet, that is coming. So learn how to pray. We also have learned that prayer has a reward. God himself is the reward. It's not for material things. It's not for things that we want in this world. But God himself promised to be the reward for us, for those of us who seek him. Today we will conclude with our studies on prayer. So if you have your Bible, turn to James chapter 5. We're going to read verse 17 and 18. So after a couple of weeks of vacation, my Bible come back. So we will read from the NIV, verse 17 to 18. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Let's pray. Father, thank you for teaching us that prayer is essential, and also that you listen to prayer. And for people who want to know you, who want to seek you, will find you. You made the promise, and you never run away from it. Thousands of years, people who want to know you have found you. People who want to trust their lives into your hand, they are blessed. And so here today, as we gather here to learn more about prayer, speak to us and teach us how to pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now as I read these two verses, I recognize and observe that there are two parts to this that are essential for our understanding about prayer. One is this, that prayer is for everyone. It's for ordinary people, people like you and like me. You don't have to be a specialist or a priest or someone of a particular class in order to pray. You don't have to be a grown-up to pray. A child can pray. That is point number one here, the notion that Elijah was a man like us. That is the message here, that everyone can pray. The second part of this message is that God answered prayer in extraordinary way. He comes in his power when he answers your prayer. So you will always find him and know him through the power that he display when he come into your life and answer your prayer. You will know it for sure that this is God there meeting your need. So these are the two things that I'll be talking about this morning. First, ordinary people pray. You don't have to be a special person to pray. In the history of religion, prayers were mostly offered by priests and spiritual leaders. It was uncommon for ordinary people to pray. In Hmong animism, for example, you need the shaman or the a man of the house to really communicate to the spirits. Children and women in the house, if they're not trained, they don't communicate to the spirit. They don't do those rituals. In a way, they don't pray to the spirit. They don't pray to the ancestors. They may cry out somewhere when they're really in desperate need, but it's not common for them to pray, even in Hmong culture, in that animistic practice. In Christianity, though, that has changed. Anyone can pray. Because when Jesus died on the cross, the curtain that divide the holy place to the holy of holies, what God promised to be enthroned and to meet people's need and to sanctify people, that curtain is torn apart. So access is created for anyone to come into the holy place, to go to God for prayer in Jesus' name. That's what Jesus announced. From now on, you pray to my Father in my name. Because Jesus is that veil, and Jesus is dead. So access has been created for you and for me to approach the throne of grace. Anytime, anywhere in the world. You don't have to go to Jerusalem to pray. You don't have to come to church to pray. You can pray anywhere in your room. You can go to the mountain and pray. And God will answer. Jesus will answer. But prayer is not easy. That's why Jesus' disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. Why it's not easy? I think there are three reasons and three fears that block us in terms of prayer. Number one, we have never prayed before. If you are a new believer, this is the first time you're going to pray. You're going to ask God for something to help you. And it's new for you. How do you pray? How do you start? Well, you hear people in church beginning to pray, and Jesus taught that when we pray, we begin with Heavenly Father. Address to the Father in heaven. And I remember when my wife and I first got married, she came from the Catholic Church, and she didn't pray. If she needed someone to pray, she go to the pastor and ask them to pray for her, that kind of thing. Maybe that's your experience as well. If you have never prayed before, you have fear of prayer. You don't know how to begin to pray. So I would just urge you just to begin and pray. I remember there's even the pastor's kid, they are frightened with regard to praying. When we first started our church in Minneapolis, where Pastor Chanya, Dr. Chanya came to help us, there's women in there that when you ask them to pray, and we close our eyes, and she will say, "You guys, open your eyes because I can't pray." Yeah, I remember that was like yesterday. There are people in the church that don't know how to pray, are frightened to pray because it is not easy. You don't know. The second part about the fear of prayer is of sin that we have. The Bible said very clearly that God is holy and we are sinful. And for us to approach God, our sins separate us from God. So you cannot, like our sin is a wall that is blocking you from God. And some of you who have learned how to pray, you have experienced that wall because your sins are blocking you from God. That's why we need to learn to confess our sins. Ask God to tell you what your sins are so that you can ask for forgiveness. And once you ask for forgiveness, God is faithful and he will forgive you. Once forgiveness is received, the wall is removed. Your sins are removed. And so now you have access directly to God. So that's why we focus on confessions of sin as a way to approach God and remove the fear from praying. The third thing about fear of prayer is that we don't know God and we don't see God. So praying to God is different from praying to people. You know, you pray to your mom, "I want this, dad, I want this." You pray to your grandma, grandpa, even pray to the dead. You know, you see Hmong people going to the grave and crying and pray to the dead. There's no fear there unless your fear of the demon might come. Or the dead actually come and say hi to you, you know. But other than that, you really don't have fear of prayer. You're praying to an idol, there's no fear. There is a stone or a metal, piece of metal, you pray to that, there's no fear. But when you come to God, there's fear because you don't know who God is. But God strike you dead. Because there are stories in the Bible where people who are not cleansed, who are not sanctified themselves, touch the ark of the covenant and they die right away. And God said, for people who are not sanctified, they cannot come close because I will kill them. I will hurt them. So you have that fear as well. And we don't know God. Some of you read this text and you just got reminded that Elijah prayed and God answered. But the prior verse said that you need to be righteous for God to answer you. So you might have this fear of, I'm not righteous. How can I be a righteous person? What James is telling us here that remind us that Elijah was not different when he began his relationship with God. The word that James said here that Elijah was a man like us is the word that has the same nature as you and me. Which means Elijah was born a sinner. At one point in time, he did not know God. At one point in time, he did not know how to pray, just like you, just like me. But because Elijah heard the word of God in the Bible saying that, pursue me, come to me, search for me. So Elijah, just like you, now I want to pursue God. Make that decision to pursue God. And he did pursue God and he found God. Because God is faithful. God is calling each and everyone. If you hear the word of God, to come to God, to pursue God, to reach out to God, go do that. If you being asked to pray, go ahead, pray. Go home and pray. Go to the mountain and pray. Go to the park and pray. Go into your room and pray. Because God is faithful. He will meet you because he's inviting you to come and pray. The point is that you can be a righteous man like Elijah. Your prayer can be as powerful as Elijah or even more. Jesus even said, those who are my disciples will do greater things than me. Jesus made that commitment to you and to me. He doesn't say, it's just the man, okay? He doesn't say, just the girls, okay? He said, anyone who's my disciple, the belief in me, and in my name can do greater things than I did. That's the promise that Jesus has made. It's a promise that is open for you and for me. So you can be a righteous man like Elijah through Jesus Christ. Jesus is our Savior, our Sanctifier, our Healer, and Coming King. If you don't know how to pray, you are concerned about righteousness, go right into Jesus. And Jesus will sanctify you, make you holy, and take you to the throne of grace, to the Father himself. The Bible said it very clear that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can go to the Father but through him. Which means you can always go to the Father. You can always pray in Jesus' name. Because in Jesus you have access to God. I remember this testimony of a Jewish guy who first come to learn about Jesus Christ. And he's really want to know if Jesus is the Son of God. And he just always pray to God. And for a week he prayed like that day and night. And God never answered. So he come to the Christian lady who was counseling him and leading him to Christ and said, I've been praying for a week and never heard anything. And the Christian lady said, did you pray in Jesus' name? No, I just prayed to God. You will never have God unless you have the Son. You can never pray directly to God and get an answer. Unless you pray in Jesus. Why don't you go and pray? Jesus, reveal yourself to me. Who are you? Are you the Son of God? If you are, I want to know. And I want to believe. I want to trust you. Okay, he went home. He prayed in Jesus' name and the Holy Spirit descended on him. That's the kind of teaching that the Bible is telling us here. But most importantly, perfect love casts out fear. When you are in Jesus, when you are in Christ, you are in the perfect love of God. Jesus represents the perfect love of God. When you're in Jesus, you're in God's perfect love. The love that God has for Jesus is the same love that God has for you. When you go into God, when you go into prayer in Jesus' name, you enter into the throne of the Father through that perfect love that God gives to you. And so you go in there and God will welcome you like a son, like a daughter. That is what it means to pray in love, to pray in Jesus' name. And when you go there, and then all the fear will be taken away from you. The next part of the message is that God answers in an extraordinary way. Scientists like you to believe that there's no miracles because there's the law of nature. The law of nature says that there is an apparent inevitable phenomenon observable in nature that cannot change. If you throw something up, that thing will come down. If there's a sunrise and there's a sunset, there's a birth and there's a death, and there's things that happen in nature is by the law of nature. And you can explain it. But the Bible teaches that God intervened in nature. The passage that we read here saying that Elijah prayed for God to stop the rain and God answered him, and rain did not fall on the land of Israel for 3.5 years. The word there tell you and tell me that God intervened in nature. Because of the law of nature, that there is a season of rain, there is a season of summer, but when God intervened, even the seasons of rain won't rain at all. And because of the law of nature, you know that God intervened, and that's why the nature, nature itself respond to God. And when you see that, then you know that God answered prayer. Similarly, Mark, written the gospel in chapter 4, verse 35 and 41, he said that Jesus and the disciple were in the boat, and a vicious storm come and blow against the sea, and the boat was sinking, and the disciple went to Jesus and tell Jesus that they are dying because the boat was sinking. Jesus rose up from his sleep, and he command the wind and the storm to stop, and the wind and the storm obey Jesus. The disciple experienced Jesus intervening into nature. That's how they know that this is someone that's different. It's not an ordinary man. He can tell the nature to obey him. God is like that. That is who God is. He intervened in nature. And when you invite Jesus into your stormy life, whatever storm that come into your life, whether it's a difficult exam that you're taking, or you are having a relationship problem with someone else, or you have a sickness or a disease, or whatever is the storm of your life. And when you come into Jesus and ask for help, Jesus will come in power. And when he come in power, you will know, you will experience that power. That's when you know that God has intervened in your life. That's how you know that God has come into to rescue you. John the Apostle pointed out that the extraordinary events that Jesus did were signs. Sign pointing to you and to me, to everyone, that Jesus is the Son of God. When you pray in Jesus' name, and Jesus came and intervened, God intervened in Jesus' name, That is a sign that God is testifying to you that Jesus is my son. Jesus is the savior of the world. And by believing in Jesus, you will have eternal life. That's what John said in John chapter 20, verse 30. So guess what? If that is the case, then God is always making himself and making his son the reward of prayer. Nothing else matters. You may get good health. Your relationship may be restored. The storm in your life may be gone. That's the temporary things that God responds to. But what God really wants you to know and for me to know through those events, through miracles, is for you to know that Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus died for you on the cross. That Jesus was raised to life so that you will have eternal life. Jesus will always be the reward to your prayer. God will always be the reward to your prayer. So, today we come to communion. Let's put what we have learned in the last 3 weeks into practice. I will not pray for communion. You will. You will pray for communion. Whatever is in your life, before you come and receive the bread and the cup, pray. If you want to know God, pray. If there's a storm in your life, you want to overcome and you want Jesus to come and intervene in your situations, pray. If there are sins in your life that you hated, you want to get rid of, confess that sins to God. And he will forgive you so that you will come before God cleanly. And he will sanctify you, make you holy. If your problem is that there is someone that you hate and you wish them dead, and that is blocking you to have a relationship with God, and you want God to forgive you, but you cannot forgive this person or that person, confess that before God today. I cannot forgive. That's my problem. Would you please give me the strength to forgive this person or that person? You will encounter God. And pray for that before you come over to the table. So there are three things here. The first thing Jesus taught us how to pray is to uphold the holiness of God. That God is holy. God is almighty. God is over everything, including your thoughts, including your way of living, all the problems in your life. God is over that. And so you pray for the kingdom of God to come, that God, the goodness of you, whatever you desire for me, I want that to come to me now. And then let the world of God take place in your life. Receive God, I want to receive your will into my life. I may not like it, but I'm going to obey it. That is how you receive the will of God. And then confess your sin. I would say, husbands, confess your wife's sin as well. And wife, likewise, confess your husband's sin because you are one. Oh, I really hate him. He did this to me maybe this morning or yesterday or one hour. Confess your husband's sin before God. And you know what? When you confess your husband's and your wife's sin, God is really happy because that is the practice what Jesus did. You are walking in Jesus' step, taking the sins of another upon yourself. And God is very pleased with that. Try it. I know I have been there. And then after you pray, you can come and take the bread. And Jesus said, this is my body that is broken for you. It's given to you as a gift so that you eat and you will have life. And Jesus gave the cup and Jesus said, this is the cup. Oh, on my blood. It's over Jesus' blood. His blood has poured out for you, so that your sin will be washed away and you'll be made righteous in God's sight. You'll be like Elijah, pray, and God will respond. So when you're ready, then come, take the bread and the cup. That was sacrificed for our sins. In our place, that we may be forgiven in His name. That He died in our place. That He rose again on the third day to give us hope. To tell us, to inform us that You love us that much. That as You raise Jesus from the dead, we have this hope that we will be raised from the dead as well. Thank You for such a wonderful display of love. The best that there is. Thank You. As we go out and live this Christian life in the world, grant us Your Holy Spirit on a daily basis so that when we go, we can be a light to people in darkness. The darkness will tremble because the name of Jesus is spoken from our lips. The testimony that we give to our friends and relatives and co-workers about Jesus, that they will give us a hearing, a fair hearing. Lord, that more people will come to faith because of what You are doing in our lives. Miracles that has taken place in our lives. Transformation that has taken place in our lives. That people would see. People will ask questions why your life is so different. Why you speak a different language. Why you behave differently. That our lives just have this outward testimony about the greatness of the Lord Jesus in our lives. Bring us back again next week, next month. Bless our fellowship time later after this. And also as we go out and live in the world, bless us and our time, our walk in the world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.